If you're finding your seat, if you will, in Scripture, find Genesis 28, and you'll want to find Isaiah chapter 6. Everything else you can find on the screen is when we get there. We're going to be in several different passages today, and we will be in Genesis 28 here in just a moment. But before that, would you pray with me? Father God, who moved freely among your people throughout the pages of Scripture, meeting them right where they were, oftentimes when they least expected you to show up, we invite you to move and to speak freely in our midst today. We are here as your servants, and we are listening. So have your way among us, we pray. Amen. If you've been here this fall, you'll notice that over the past 5 weeks, we have been affirming each week that we serve a God who is indeed speaking all of the time. And we've seen how his words meet our ears in many diverse ways. He doesn't speak in the same way all the time, much like us. His communication varies. We affirm that we serve a God who speaks through nature, through his creation, through silence and solitude, through the gift of Scripture, of his word, through others, namely his people, who are seeking him together, and even that we serve a God who often speaks through our circumstances. And this is good news because these are all things that are a part of each one of our lives. If we're ever in a season of life where we feel a bit disconnected from the voice of God, we can make an intentional effort to slow down a bit and focus in on one of these areas more intentionally. We can step away from the busyness and take an unhurried walk in the park and let God know that we're listening for him there. We can sit in silence and we can simply wait on God until he shows up. We can immerse ourselves in Scripture. We can surround ourselves with other believers who can speak God's truth to us. And we can take a step back and take a look at our circumstances that brought us where we are. And we can take a moment to recognize what God has been saying through all of those. And in doing each of these things, we open ourselves up more and more all the time to the voice of God among us. My hope, my deep hope from these past 6 weeks together is that all of us have been in our lives attempting in some way to carve out some more space than usual and to listen, to really put to action what we're discussing in here on Sunday mornings and just see if God might show up. If you've been doing that, I would love so much to hear your stories. Even if it's just very simple, of how he has shown up and what he has said to you in those silent listening moments. I know for me, in the past few weeks, I have been seeking to hear God even more than usual, and he has been speaking. He's been faithful. In fact, in recent days, I've kind of been telling God in my own prayer life, okay, God, enough already. You've got so much to say that you're taking away all of my excuses to settle for anything less than what you desire for me and from me. It just turns out that when we listen, he speaks. Because we've got a God who loves us and wants us to know him and to hear him. It's been fun hearing God every day. And I hope that your stories are similar. This morning, we conclude our look at the ways that God speaks to us with something that's a completely different form of communication. It kind of stands apart from all of the others in its uniqueness. And that's why I saved it for last, so we wouldn't cling to it like this was the ideal way. It's just one of the ways. Today, we affirm that we serve a God who does sometimes choose to speak to his people through this mysterious gift of dreams and visions, through angels and messengers even. You'll notice just in hearing it that this one is unique from the others because we really can't intentionally do anything to have God speak to us in this way. We can't really force ourselves into some kind of God sighting in a dream. And we can't just decide to go hang out in the part of town where angels tend to hang out. We can't do that. If ever we find ourselves caught up in a vision of God or entertaining an angel from God, we often find that we just kind of stumbled upon this gift. We didn't find it. It found us. And this unique form of communication from God to us is not experienced by everyone, nor is it a sign of who God loves the very most. In fact, as many of our stories today will show, the God who speaks through dreams and visions and through angels and messengers often uses this unique form of communication when no other form of communication will do. He uses it often in moments of absolute desperation or in places where there's an absence of scripture in the gospel message altogether. When there's no way for God to get through, God's going to find a way to get through. And so rather than spending this time talking about how we're going to hear God through dreams and visions, we're simply going to slow down for a moment and stand in awe of our God, remembering that He does speak in extraordinary ways. And we're just going to try to celebrate with the church, past and present, near and far, over those times that God has broken through, even when His people least expected it. This morning's going to be a bit of a story time of sorts, and it's going to be fun. And my only hope for us is that as the morning concludes, that we all might leave this place saying together, "Wow, our God is really something, isn't He? He's unstoppable. He's untamable. He's relentless in His pursuit of us, His children." If we simply arrive in that place once again this morning, I will say that this was time very well spent. The God who speaks through dreams and through visions. We see Him in Scripture all over the place. If we looked at every account of how He did that, we'd be here all day. I'm not sure how many of you would sign up for that. I'm fine with it. I like being here. But I'll spare you, and so we'll just look at a few of the places that come to mind immediately. It's in a dream that God tells Jacob that the covenant made to Abraham will continue through him. In Genesis 28, verse 10, we have this story. It says, "Jacob left Beersheba and went to Haran. He came to a certain place and camped for the night since the sun had set. He took one of the stones there, set it under his head, and lay down to sleep, and he dreamed. A stairway was set on the ground, and it reached all the way to the sky. Angels of God were going up and going down on it. Then God was right before him, saying, 'I am God, the God of Abraham your father, and the God of Isaac. I'm giving the ground on which you are sleeping to you and your descendants. Your descendants will be as the dust of the earth. They'll stretch from west to east, from north to south. All the families of the earth will bless themselves in you and your descendants.' Jacob woke up from his sleep. He said, 'God is in this place truly, and I didn't even know it.' He was terrified. He whispered in awe, 'Incredible, wonderful, holy, this is God's house. This is the gate of heaven.'" From a dream, Jacob wakes up and said, "God is in this place truly, and I didn't even know it." Wow. You ever had a dream that woke you up like that? You wish, me too sometimes. Visions continue in the prophets. Isaiah chapter 6, what we heard at the call of worship this morning, we'll hear it again. "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lofty, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. Seraphs were in attendance above him. Each had six wings. With two they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, with two they flew. And one called to another and said, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory.'" In verse 8, then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And I said, here am I, send me. Through a vision, the prophet receives the call that will change his life and his identity from that day on. In the New Testament, dreams and visions continue. Matthew 27, verse 19, Pilate's wife, just moments before Jesus is handed over to be crucified, she pleads to her husband, and she says, have nothing to do with that innocent man, for today I have suffered a great deal because of a dream about him. A dream revealed a truth to her that others were much too blind to see. Dreams and visions, they are all over the book of Acts. In Acts 10, a vision is what leads Cornelius the Gentile to go out and seek truth from Peter, and a separate vision leads Peter to accept Cornelius's plea. There's a long story in Acts 10. Read it sometime. It's great. But Cornelius, it says, is a God-fearing man, didn't know Christ, and he had a dream that told him to go and find this guy named Peter. At the same time, Peter's waiting for lunch one day. He gets bored, goes up to the rooftop to pray for a bit. And as he's in that place, he has this vision out of nowhere. And in the vision, he sees this sheet. And in the sheet, all kinds of animals, things that he's never touched before. And he hears a voice from the Lord that says, Peter, take and eat. And he says, never would I do that. I've never broken the law. And he hears the Spirit say, what I have said is clean, do not say is unclean. Take and eat. Moments later, Cornelius' men are at Peter's door saying, basically, there's this Gentile looking for you, wanting to know about Jesus. Does this work? Through a vision, they came together. Through a vision, Peter realized that God was up to something new, inviting all people into his salvation. A vision led a disciple into a whole new vocation. A dream leads the very first Gentile to faith in Jesus Christ. But what about today? These dreams and visions, is this the kind of thing that still happens, or is it just left in the pages of Scripture, in the pages of history? It turns out, my friends, that we serve a God who doesn't change. I remember in my own life, a couple years ago, I spent a couple weeks one summer in China. And I was serving at the church in Texas at this time, and pretty happy where I was. I was just fine. And on my last day in Beijing, I joined in a house church with a group of pastors who were coming together and praying for their house churches. And at the end of the day, one of them looked at me and said, can we pray for you? And I said, sure. I didn't realize that they prayed in kind of strange ways there. And so he said, here's what we do when we pray. He said, you're going to stand in the middle, and we're all going to surround you. We're going to lay hands on you. And he said, and then we're just going to be silent. And he said, we're all going to just ask if God has a word or a vision for you. And then after a while, if we receive something, we'll let you know. If not, then okay. So pressure's on. And so I said, okay, you know, I'm up for this, whatever this means. So we all gather around. We're silent. They're all kind of praying in Chinese. I don't really know what's going on, but it's okay. And then everybody's just quiet. And then after a while, the pastor, he speaks up and says, amen. And we all open our eyes, and he says, did anybody receive a word or a vision for Pastor Jamie? And all of a sudden, this one girl who knows nothing about me, nothing about where I came from, what I was doing in China, knew nothing about me. She said, I did. She said, I had this vision, and in this vision, she said, I feel like it's not very long from now because she looks the same. She said, but in this vision, there it's gray. She said, she's in a place where the skies are very gray. Yeah. And she said, and I see trees, and I see water. And she said, and the water is very blue. It's the only thing in the vision that has light. She said, everything else is gray. And she said, and Pastor Jamie is on the banks of the water, and she's telling people to get in the water. And she said, I think it happens really soon. I don't know what it means. And I didn't either at that time. I said, all right, noted, write it in my journal, and go home to Texas to see what's up. A year later, here I was, and look out the window, my friends. It's a little bit gray. Yeah. something to that. Yeah. What we don't always realize here in the Western world is that dreams and visions are actually happening all the time. And our God moves in places all over the world, oftentimes in this way, in places most hostile to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because it turns out that shutting out Scripture and shutting out the church can actually never shut out our living God. My 2 years in the Middle East, every single believer I met who had converted from Islam to Christianity, every single one for 2 years that I met would stop and tell me about how they converted because of a dream or a vision in which they saw the face of Jesus Christ himself. You guys, this is real. In fact, it is more unusual to go to that part of the world and find a believer who hasn't seen Christ in this way. When I lived in Syria, one of my best friends was a young man named Muhammad. Muhammad was the only convert that we knew in the entire city of Damascus. And he was a new believer. And one day as I was talking to him, he said, Jamie, have you ever seen Jesus in a dream or in a vision? And at that point in my life, I hadn't. And so I said, you know, I don't think I have. And I said, Muhammad, have you? And he looked at me and as if I was crazy for saying no. And he said, more times than I can possibly count. He said, Jamie, it's like every single night when I go to bed, I have this same dream. And in it, he said, I'm a shepherd. And he said, I'm going through this pasture and there's all these sheep behind me. And he said, I'm following this other shepherd farther up. And he said, at some point in the dream, that shepherd turns around and looks at me and says, Muhammad, you are a shepherd too now. Lead these sheep to me. He said, Jamie, it happens every single night. And he said, what do I do with that? And I said, be a shepherd. That's what it sounds like, Muhammad, every single night. As I prepared for missionary service, I met this career missionary who lives over in North Africa. His name is Ken Perkins, and he did this really long study where he went around the world and he interviewed thousands of Christians who had been persecuted for their faith. He simply wanted to know why in all their hardships they continued to follow Jesus Christ. He wanted to know what led them in these closed countries to know and follow Christ in the first place. And over several days at this missionary training center, he just relayed story after story to us of people who he had personally interviewed whose stories absolutely changed his life. I remember two of them as if I heard them yesterday. He tells one about this man who Ken says was the toughest man he had ever met in his life. He says this guy was from a Muslim background, and he agreed to meet with Ken in a room that all the lights had to be off. He said it had to be a room that was full of shadows, so he couldn't be seen or identified in this Central Asian city where he was not even known by anyone. And this man begins to tell him his story, and he said for years he was a freedom fighter in his country. He would lead a squad, he said, of 15 men in these attempts to run foreigners out of their Muslim country. And this guy stated that as a freedom fighter, he personally reveled in getting to do the killing himself, that he would personally stalk the enemy until he could get him one-on-one and kill him. He said that he could not even begin to count the dozens or possibly hundreds that he had put to death. He planned and he led and he killed. And this man began to tell Ken, he said, but there was one day when I woke up and I couldn't get the blood off of my hands. He said, try as I might, I would wash my hands over and over again. And he said, but I couldn't get the victim's blood off. He said, in the daytime, I would see it. At nighttime, I would have dreams of it. He said, there was just so much blood on my hands. And this vision, it went on for weeks. He said, all of a sudden, one night, I dreamed a different dream. And he said, in this dream, this guy named Jesus came to me and told me, I can get that blood off your hands. this divine encounter led this freedom fighter to find someone, anyone, who could tell him who this man named Jesus was and how he could possibly cleanse him from the blood. When he encountered Christ, his change was so great that when Ken met him, he was the one carrying good news to others in his country. He was smuggling Bibles by the hundreds. He would get them in a nearby country and pass through the mountains to his homeland at risk of being killed by a fighter just like he had been. The blood was washed away, and he was changed, and it all started with a dream and a vision. Another story from Ken talks about a guy who comes from a people group, he says, that numbered about 26 million. And out of these 26 million, there were only known to be 3 believers in the group, and no known church at all. This man met with Ken, and he told him about a time in his life when everything was a mess. He said he and his wife would fight, his children were sickly, his crops were refusing to grow. And so, true to his folk Muslim culture, he went to a spiritualist to get some advice. He described to this man his problems, and the spiritualist told him, he said, "I will sacrifice a chicken for you. You go home, and you fast and meditate for 3 days and for 3 nights. And on the 3rd night, the answer to your problems will come." So this guy returns home, and he did just as he was instructed by this Muslim spiritualist. And he told Ken, he said, "On that 3rd night, a voice without a body came to me. And it said, find Jesus, find the gospel." This man knew nothing but Islam. He had never even heard of Christianity. He never even knew what the Bible was. He never even heard of Jesus. He didn't know in that moment, he said, if Jesus was a fruit or a vegetable or a rock. He had no idea what he was looking for. But he did want whatever good news this Jesus guy had to offer. And so this voice kept talking to him. And it told him to go to a city 5 hours away from his home, a city he had never stepped foot in before. And it said, when you arrive there, ask the first 2 people to take you to a street by a certain name. And when you get to that street, find a house with these certain numbers on it. And so this man, without telling his family, packs up his stuff one day and begins to walk 5 hours to this city. The second he stepped into city limits, he asked the first 2 people he saw where this certain street was. He gets to that certain street, and he immediately finds a house with these certain numbers on the door. He knocks on the door, and a gentleman opens it and asks what he wants, and this village Muslim says, "I've come to find Jesus and find the gospel." This hand shot out the door, pulled him in, slammed the door, and said, "You Muslims must think I'm an idiot to fall for something as transparent as this." This young man replied, "Sir, I don't know if you're an idiot or not, but this is why I've come." And for the next hour, he sat there and he told the man his story and what he had heard from this vision. The Holy Spirit led him directly to the home, get this, of only one of 3 known believers among a people group of 26 million. This is real, you guys. The older man took his new village friend through the scriptures all night long until the good news of Jesus Christ became his own. You see, our God is speaking, and he's speaking through dreams and visions, and he is doing it all the time. Let us rejoice. Let us take heart. And let us pray that those who are seeing, even right now, might come to believe. And furthermore, we serve a God who also often has chosen to speak through this unique gift of angels and messengers. These mysterious ones who come when we need them, bringing a message that we long to hear. There are even more stories in Scripture of angels and messengers than there are visions, believe it or not. They're everywhere. In Daniel, an angel of the Lord is given credit for standing in the flames with Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego. And it's an angel of the Lord, it says, that closed the mouths of the lions in the den. Before that, it was an angel who warned Lot and his family to leave Sodom. Before that, Abraham hosted three angels over a meal in his home. You know the gospel stories well. In the gospels, it's an angel, Gabriel, namely, that meets Zechariah and Mary and Joseph to announce the birth of John the Baptist and then of Jesus. When Jesus goes into the desert to be tempted, it's an angel that ministers to him there. At his empty tomb, it's an angel that hangs out for a while, that's sitting upon the rolled away stone, greeting any who might come to find the body. In Acts, it's an angel that opens the prison doors and leads Peter out, a free man, commanding him to keep speaking the gospel message. In Revelation, the vision John receives, the entire book as we read it, is spoken to him, it says, through an angel. From Genesis to Revelation, our God sometimes chooses to speak through his own heavenly messengers. And just like dreams and visions, I claim that it remains the same today. My great-grandmother, she died the day before I was born, so I never met her. But she had this story that she would tell her family about a time in her life when she was only in her mid-50s. And she got very, very, very ill, and she was rushed to the hospital. She was unconscious. And the doctors had told the family to begin preparing for the worst, that they couldn't get any response, that she was basically already gone. So they were to just kind of get their things in order. And Grandma Laura, she would tell this story about how one night in the hospital, she says, clear as day, this angel came into her room and told her, do not fear. You will live. You will live until you see your husband and your son come to know Jesus Christ. She remembers it just like that. The next morning, doctors came in. She was 100% fine. They sent her home. She began to tell this story. Her husband and son, they got saved. Hopefully not too fast, because that'd be scary. But they came to faith. Years later, she died in her 90s. And she would say till her deathbed that with all of her heart, she knows that she encountered an angel of God in her hospital room that night. When I was in high school, we had missionaries that came to our church who were serving in Mexico. And I remember the son was my age. We went to school together for a year. And the dad, he would tell stories about life in Mexico doing mission work. And he told one about this village they were living in. And the churches were exploding in this village, and it was making the government a bit nervous. And so they began to say, you can no longer gather in homes for church. You have to go to the official church in the center of town so we can kind of keep tabs on who you are and what you're doing. Well, these people, their community was in their home. They wanted to worship there. And so they kept doing it, and the government got angry, and they said, you know what? If we find you worshiping in a house, we're going to just go bulldoze that house. And so on a Sunday morning, they all gathered at a house. They see a bulldozer coming down the street. The church stands outside in the yard, and they begin to pray. And all of a sudden, the bulldozer turns around and drives away. Nobody knows why. The next week, they do it again. They're back at the house. The bulldozer is coming. The people step outside. They begin to pray. After a while, the bulldozer turns around and drives away. This happens 4 or 5 times. Finally, somebody in the church gets interested and is talking to one of his buddies in the government and says, what's going on? He said, every single week, you guys come and then you leave. And he said, are you crazy? He said, do you not see the helicopters surrounding your house with machine guns sticking out of them? He said, no, we've never seen that. He said, they're everywhere. He said, when we get near the house, they surround the house. I don't know. I guess God uses modern images and modern threats. I don't know. But I know the house is still standing to this day, and people still worship. What did they have shot? I don't know. That's a different sermon. My friends, we serve a God who speaks. And I share these stories of visions and miracles to simply invite us today to together remember and rejoice. You see, sometimes, actually all the time, the news and the politicians who thrive on people's fear and anxiety try to lead us into places of despair, where we begin to think that everything is very, very bad. That God is no longer in schools, and God is no longer in courtrooms, and God is no longer in our country, and God is no longer even in the world anymore. They will stay. It's all up to us to make the right choices if we're going to survive. And my friends, I am here this morning to simply tell the truth. Our God is as present in all those places as he has ever been. No government, no poor politician, no law has ever been able to keep him out. And they never will. Ever. The God who speaks to people in the privacy of their bedrooms when they are sound asleep. The God who finds a way to touch hearts that we've all but written off as completely untouchable. The God who finds a way to penetrate closed doors and hostile territories is the God who is not done with the one of us yet. And thanks be to God. Thanks be to God that we serve a king who so desperately wants to get to us, that he is willing to take matters into his very own hands sometimes, if not all the time. Thanks be to God that we serve a God who so intimately loves us that sometimes he draws near in a way that we can never, ever forget. Together, we must celebrate this God. Together, we must pray for the Spirit of God to send dreams and visions to the lost across the globe, even here, even today, even now. These are the stories of our brothers and sisters. These are the stories of our God. And so we must rejoice, because even these are our stories. We are one. What an awesome, living, speaking, moving, loving God we serve. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, you're on the move, and you're speaking in any way that you can be heard. Thank you that you speak to us through your word, through your people, through your creation, through the gift of silence, through our circumstances, and yes, even at times, perhaps, through our dreams, through your messengers. Father, open our eyes and our hearts to receive any way you have to speak when it comes. But God, we don't just pray for ourselves today. We are quite aware that we live in a community and in a world that does not know you. And God, so many that are not even looking for you. And so we, as your people, pray for your power to be released, for your spirit to be free, to reach your children in whatever means you need to do to reach them. Would you cross over borders? Would you walk right through laws that say you can't? And would you do whatever you need to do to turn hearts to you? And God, if we can be a part, here we are. Send us. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.